Good morning, brethren. Or as one of my best friends says, Shalom. Hi, David. Some of us were having a visit the other day, and we started telling David Jones stories. It's fun to listen to and fun to share. I hope you all get to know David and Joy and their family. Wanted to first say welcome to everyone here. It's my first opportunity to speak to you as part of the feast. Welcome to all of you at home, those of you who have traveled to another resort area together with friends to observe this feast in all the different places where we are this year. And I wanted to give a special thanks to all of the crew who are here to be able to. I'm getting a signal from another best friend. He's telling me to take care of my hearing aid that slipped down. I really appreciate good friends who watch out for me like that. Thank you, Roberta. I wanted to thank all of those who are gathered here serving in all the many different ways. We all know that about a month ago, some things began to pile up in the Jones's household, some concerns for the health of their youngest daughter, Grace, and it was debatable whether they would even be able to be here. And so many of you, many of us, began to pray and to ask God to help and to bless this feast in this feast site. And before I get too emotional about it, I just say I'm glad that the Joneses are here and all the reasons for that. But I am also very glad because in the process, we saw in the background, and I want you to know and praise God for the blessing of so many people pulling together in such a short time to do a remarkable thing, to bring this feast together like this and to be able to rejoice before God in this way. So that was something I really wanted to just acknowledge and let everyone here serving how very much it is appreciated. I wanted to start the sermon today, and I first of all thank the selection of the special music and the performance of it. This is Glacier Day. It's a time when we're reflecting on some of the great wonders of creation that God has given to us. I want to give a biblical basis as we start. Today I'll be speaking in two different ways. One would be as a tour guide and a teacher, and the other would be to bring the spiritual principles and the preaching that we can learn from the beautiful things around us. In Romans 1:20, and I'll be reading all the verses, ask you to turn to them, because with the different slides I've got to go to show you today, I would like to be able to let the slides stay on the screen so that we could see them a little bit more, enjoy the beauty, and encourage you to go and see it. But for the biblical basis of this, in Romans 1 and verse 20, we read, "For since the creation of the world," it's a long time ago, "since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, the invisible things of God, are clearly seen, wonderfully displayed in our view for us to see, being understood by the things that are made." When I was a teenager, I came to Montana for the first time. I'd lived in the Orient for 6 years of my life. I lived in Texas and Alabama and California. And I was invited to come and spend a summer in Montana, and it was life-changing for me because God put in my heart the love of mountains and streams and rivers and many things, and he showed them to me here, and I learned, and I gained again the faith that I had almost lost before I arrived, and some of the experiences I had in the mountains of Montana. So the things that are clearly seen of God, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And that's the basis for the message today, because there's something around us here, very near, and I hope all of you get to see it, and that is Glacier National Park. And we can see there some of the eternal power and divinity of God in the creation that he has made. And he put it here. He brought us here to this place where he placed his name. And I hope that among all the sermons and all the music that you hear, that you will hear the sermon that God wrote in the stones of Glacier Park. A long time ago, God began writing that sermon to help us to understand him and how powerful he is and how loving he is toward us, his family. He wrote this sermon in the stars of heaven and in the earth he created for our home. This being Glacier Day, our focus will be on that part of his creation. In this first slide, I want to talk today about the beauty of this place. It's near us, it's accessible. If any of you wonder, can I make it? If you're in a wheelchair, if you're using a walker, if you've got crutches, how can I go and see this place? Well, Glacier Park is one of the places in the world where the engineers who built the roads put them in a way so that all of us can go on to the mountain. In most national parks, you stop and you look up at the mountains. And the glacier, you can drive on them and you can go to the top of most of them. You can see some wonderful things up close, even if you're not able to get out and hike. And so I hope that you will. God has given us a wonderful place to see what he is doing. I want to just go quickly through a few of these slides and show you what we mean here. God has given in the stones of these mountains a way to understand him. I wish these pictures were brighter so you could see the details, but notice the little striping of the different layers in these mountains. Those are the layers of stone that were laid down one after another over many, many thousands and perhaps even millions and maybe even longer than that number of years. God gives in these stones of the mountains a way to understand that he has been around for a long time, his eternal power and Godhead. And he has given to us a way to see it. And I'll describe that briefly in the first part of this message. We see also that he created life and put it on the mountains. And so we have the wildlife that you can see. And it's accessible. And sometimes you're up close. And I've even been able to touch the mountain goats and one time a mountain sheep. Good sheep like to push with their horns. And this one got so close to me, I was trying to push it away so I could take its picture. And it loved to push back. And I realized it was much stronger than I was, so I stopped pushing. But there's so much up there, brethren, and whatever you see is going to be inspiring. It's not just in the stones of the place, but in the life that he created on it. You could read in the book of Job how he talked to Job about some of the life that he put on this earth. And we see also that Jesus sometimes also went to the mountains to pray. And I hope that you will take that opportunity. If you're not able to go to Glacier National Park, do it somewhere where you can find a private place in the beautiful settings around us here. And if you do go to the park, give each other time to stop and reflect a few minutes as Jesus did and pray in the mountains. There's something inspirational about being able to talk to God when you're out among the things that are so beautiful that he's made for us. And to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ himself who did that. It's part of the feast that he's given to us to give us this opportunity to be close to him in these ways and to admire the things he's created and praise him for it. And to realize that of all the things that are there, there's something more important to him. And that's each one of us. What a great opportunity we have to rejoice. And he tells us to come before the feast and to rejoice with our sons and our daughters in the place where he has given to us to come and worship. And we have such opportunity during this feast to go. You see here some of our people at Glacier Park enjoying the outdoors and rejoicing together and experiencing things. And this is part of the feast, is that we can have that kind of fellowship with our families and with our friends and really enjoy not just the paddling of a kayak, but also looking around you and wondering the clarity of the water and the mountains around the setting like this that is so awesome. And one of my favorite things about the millennium is that he speaks of fishing. You can read in the book of Ezekiel, and I love to fish, and I know some of you do too, and it's so awesome. And this is one of our members who was here at the feast, and we went fishing together, and there's a long story I might tell you if you ask, but thank you, Roberto. I don't have time for that story today. But ask me later. But this is part of the millennial things that God wants us to look forward to, that there will be fishermen on the banks of a wonderful river. And you can enjoy that here at the feast. It's part of rejoicing and looking forward to a greater time to come. And notice this, looking and being able to rejoice together before the Lord. Again, this is in Glacier Park, some of our family members who were there rejoicing. There's a Trail of the Cedars where they are. Someone asked me, if I'm not able to hike, where can I go? Stop along the way at the Trail of the Cedars. And there's a wonderful boardwalk through the old growth cedar there, and a place you could just be in awe of the creation that God has made. I was there, my wife and I, with our grandchildren once, and I had my grandson on my shoulders. We're walking through and looking at the trees, and I said, these are huge. And the little two-year-old is learning to say the word huge. And it was so fun, and it was, you can do this. And I hope you will, to really enjoy the time together out there. This is Glacier Day, and so as a tour guide, I want to encourage you to go. But it's also a time for a sermon, and the sermon is about the mountains, and the sermon is about the beauty and the place where God put his name, because in those mountains is a sermon God wrote. It's about moving mountains. And God is moving the mountains of Glacier Park. And he has for a long, long time been moving those mountains. Look for those special lessons when you're out there, because it's more than just the physical beauty. This sermon is titled Moving Mountains. And to me, there's so much that I could speak of from my heart of how he moved me and how I've seen him move some of you. And how he is moving mountains in our lives. Seeing the mountains of Glacier Park can help us to understand God's eternal power and his plan for our future. So today, let's consider some of the work of God in the creation of this beautiful place, literally moving those mountains. And then we'll consider the even greater spiritual work that God and Christ are doing now and will do in the future in our lives and in the lives of others. A quick lesson in geology. And this is a spiritual lesson drawn from the physical realm around us, as we see so often in Scripture. The mountains of Glacier Park were not always here. In fact, they were not always mountains at all. If you look at the striping when you're there and see the layers and you realize where they were laid down, there's limestone that came from the bottom of a deep sea, and that's at the top of the mountains now. Those mountains you see now were not always mountains at all. They were at the bottom of the sea, and other mountains before them eroded down and filled the sediment layers until there was enough pressure to create the rocks that we see now. And so those mountains were not always there. In the photos, I've given credit to those who took them. Most of these are my photos or my wife's photos, but there are some others, and I've given credit on the slides themselves if you are asking about that. In Genesis 2, consider something that God inspired Moses to write. All the way back in the creation chapters of Genesis 1 and 2, He spoke of this in chapter 2, verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is part of God's word for us. He wants us, from the very beginning of writing of the Bible, to see the history of the heavens and the earth when he created them, and the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. And there are sediments in Glacier Park where you can see that. There's no plant in that layer. There's no herb that's growing there. It's a layer of rock that existed before there were plants on this earth. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. In God's word, he takes us back to that time long before he created man here. And we could look at these and we could say, where is man's history? Where are we in this grand geological scheme of things that we see? Brethren, mankind's history is just the dust on the top of these mountains. We've been here for such a short time compared to the eternal time that God has been here working and preparing this place for us to come before him and rejoice now. Some of the sediments in Glacier Park were deposited as far back as these verses describe. God has been actively working for a long, long time to create this place. There are three major geological forces that God has used and is still using to form the landscape that is so beautiful and inspiring today. One of these is sedimentation, where mountains erode, come down through the rivers, and then settle out into the oceans and the streams and create the sediments. That's one. It's from previous highlands that were there long, long before these mountains. And then there were over 18,000 feet, 5,500 meters of sediment that eroded from earlier mountains and the highlands around here and were carried into that ancient belt sea. The sediments of the highest peaks in Glacier Park used to be deep under the surface of those oceans. One of the great things about Glacier Park is that these sediments are quite visible to us today due to two other great forces that God put into motion. And one of them is uplift, the tectonic plate movement, where the earth was shifting its shape. This will be the area of our focus today, the moving of these mountains. And I'll show some slides that illustrate this in just a minute or so. And then glaciation, long ago in the ancient ice ages, when the ancient and huge glaciers cut through and sculpted these mountains so that they exposed for us some of these layers of stone that are so clearly visible now. And geologists from all over the world come to Glacier Park because it's unique in the world for some of the things that we find. And that glaciation is like the artistry of God as he sculpted it and made it so beautiful for us. That's the defining geological event that we enjoy seeing today. Those large sheets of ice repeatedly advanced and retreated throughout the ages in the temperate regions of North America. And during the time of advancing ice, the lower valleys where we are were filled with glaciers, and only the peaks of the mountains would have been visible. They were like rivers, giant rivers of ice that sculpted the mountains. I like to think of it in this way. God has been working for a long time to give us this place and this opportunity to rejoice before him. He's giving us a way to understand him and his love for us. And a quick lesson. Someone said to me once, you're a teacher more than a preacher. I take that as a compliment because there are things that we could learn. There are things about this area that are so important to see. And this one slide shows those three big geological events of the sedimentation and the uplift and the glaciation. I want to describe this uplift just a little bit, and I hope you can see this slide. This is like a cross-section graph of Glacier National Park. When the sediments were laid down, they were at the same level, and then an area to the west began to rise, and it rose more than 18,000 feet, and then it began to be pushed by the powers that God had created and put here, pushed over the remaining area, and it's a huge tectonic slab that's moving from the west toward the east. And this slab of stone, as big as a half a continent almost, began to slide. It's now progressed 50 miles over the surface of the other layer, and so it's like a double layer. And this is it's called an overthrust zone. And that collision that began between those tectonic plates is something that is still ongoing. The massive forces still at work that God has put in place. I hope you can see that. It just illustrates the movement I tried to show you by my small gestures as well. A prime example of the Lewis overthrust, the Lewis and Clark who came through and explored, this is named after Lewis. A prime example of the Lewis overthrust falls is visible at Chief Mountain on the east side of the park. That area is closed. We won't be able to go there this year. But the best place to see that, is, if you really are interested, would be to go to on Highway 2 at the Marias Pass, and you can see this fault, this overthrust fault. It's visible in that area. This is how this area looks from above. This overthrust fault, as the land pushed forward, began to buckle, and it would create wrinkles in the land, and so that it would push up, and then we'd have anticlines and synclines, and the area would just form from above. You can see the many miles of this Rocky Mountain Front Range, as it's called, as it pushed to the east over us. And this is near us. This is here in Montana, this picture of this overthrust. It's very, very dramatic. And so there's so much to see there. But this is where we see it from our vantage point. We drive along the roads, we hike along the trails, and we can see it from the ground looking up at it. These mountains that we see today are beautiful, but they are only temporary. We see that they're only temporary because, again, they were not always here. We can see and appreciate this awesome work of God, but it's just the physical evidence of something so much greater. For a long, long time, brethren, God has been moving the mountains of Glacier National Park, and we can rejoice before him, but God isn't finished moving mountains just yet. I want to show you this. There's the title of the message, is Moving Mountains. And up to now, we've been talking about these physical mountains, the lessons we can learn. But brethren, even more powerfully, he's working in our lives to help us to attain to his kingdom. You see, the mountains are temporary, but he's working in us an eternal work. He's offering to us eternal life. Look in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. In Isaiah 54, verse 10, it says, "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed." You can see evidence of that. We were up on Wednesday of last week, and you can see where there was a large rock slide that came down from hundreds of feet and took down the side of a cliff. The mountains shall depart. And every time a rock rolls off, every time a raindrop causes mud to flow down, it's taking the mountain down. It's these mountains of the world are physical and they're temporary. "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you." God's concern for us is so much greater. His love for us is so much more enduring. My kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. His covenant with us, his people, his covenant of peace, his covenant of eternal life, of his kingdom to come and all that it means. It's an even more powerful work that he does in our lives, says the Lord who has mercy on you. And that mercy is part of his power. That mercy is part of his divinity. That mercy is part of what we learn about in the invisible attributes of God that we learn from the things he has made. You might say, well, how is this work more powerful than that? And what an awesome display of God's power over eons of time to create mountains and to move them here. How is it that it's more powerful in our lives? Brethren, look, and I know you know the answer already, but we see it in the scripture and it inspires us again. And it strengthens our faith and it helps us to go on and to endure whatever we face. In Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 20, speaking here and breaking into the context of a prayer, the Apostle Paul for the people he served and loved, he says, speaking of God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And we read of that in Romans, that he wants us to have that understanding of his invisible attributes. It's exactly what Paul is speaking of here. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's the power that is working in our lives, the power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Is the same power he's using in your life and mine to transform our lives, our hearts, our minds, to be able to inherit eternal life. It's such a wonderful thing to see what he is doing and to gain from the beauty of the creation, even some of these kinds of sermons that God writes for us and preserves so that it's clearly visible. So that people in general are without excuse, it says in Romans, but we have been called to give and given this wonderful blessing of knowing this truth and believing and embracing it and holding to it. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 through 17, Hebrews 10, verse 12, but this man, now speaking of Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, this is now speaking of the eternal power, the eternal divinity of God. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. He's perfecting us. He's giving to us the faith, the hope, the love, the spirit, the compassion, the character, everything we need to be given eternal life, the forgiveness of our sins. And the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after the days. Remember we read in Isaiah that the covenant of peace would not depart. This is what he's speaking of. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Brethren, that's a more powerful miracle than moving mountains, to be able to change the human physical mind and heart and spirit, to be the receptor of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and the Spirit of God, to become his sons and daughters. All that means, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You know, there's no physical force or power that could ever forgive our sins. It takes the exceeding greatness of the power of God through the sacrifice of Christ for this to happen. And he's doing this in our lives. Thank you, my friend. We have evidence of moving mountains. There's a young man, I hope, will not object to me showing this next picture, but it illustrates for us all something more powerful that God is doing. He's moving mountains. He's changing lives through the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And his love for us and our hearts and minds can be transformed forever. A new spiritual creation is underway in our own lives, more permanent and more beautiful than Glacier National Park. Eternal life as sons and daughters in the kingdom of our God and Father. When Christ returns, he will move mountains again, but this time much more quickly and much more beautifully and much more permanently, and create an even more beautiful place for God's family to live forever. Look in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verses 4. That's where we'll start. Zechariah 14:4. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and we'll be there to see this. We'll be there with him, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. I expect that place that he's going to renew on the face of this earth and split a mountain and create a river that flows year-round in wonderful, beautiful things. I think it's going to be more beautiful than Glacier Park ever has been or can be. It's going to be a very wonderful place, and I look forward to seeing that and praising God. Verse 8 and 9. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea, in both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one, and his name one. Verse 16, bringing it to the context of the feast. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of the nations shall come against Jerusalem and shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We're here to do exactly that today. And Christ isn't on his throne in Jerusalem, but he's here with us. We've come before him to worship the place where God has put his name. What a wonderful blessing we have. Brethren, God is teaching us about his great and mighty power, revealing to us in his beautiful creation, even his eternal power and Godhead. He's been moving mountains for a long, long time, and now working more mightily than that by moving our hearts and minds to know and believe and embrace the vision of the time coming when he will once again and more powerfully than ever before send his Son to move mountains. There are many reasons to rejoice before our Lord and God while we're here at this feast, and I hope you will go see Glacier Park for yourself. And while you're there, notice the sermon written in the stones.